Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. Why don't you find out why? By the way, Penn State and Illinois is going to be a noon kickoff on Halloween. So looking forward, it's a noon kickoff on Halloween. Kevin will be, it's going to be frightening as to what Kevin's going to do on Halloween, but that's fine. The Kevin Herr Memo of the Day.
I have something to add to the mod, so let me know when you're ready for that.
Topics. Landry Jones leads Steelers to win. Should he start next week if Ben can't? What was that Indy fake punt call? Michigan punter getting death threats. Recapping Ohio State, Penn State. Who should Urban Meyer start at quarterback and why?
And the final piece to the puzzle is just been released moments ago. Ironically, the word released is appropriate. Dominic Brown dropped by the Phillies, unclaimed on waivers. An all-star in 2015 or 2013 dropped from the Phillies roster.
Oh, there's no one to pay him.
Well, he was making he's making 2.6 this year and would probably be around the same next year via arbitration.
He doesn't figure in their plans, so just drop him, move on.
Well, and it doesn't really cost them that much to keep him, but he's hitting .233. I mean, and he was in 207 games in the past two seasons, hitting .233 with 15 homers.
Right.
The money, even at $2.6 million, there's better ways to use that money.
Right.
And it's a shame because he had such a great year in 13, had 27 homers, hit .272, and now can't even get claimed by 29 other teams.
Does anybody care right now?
If you're a Phillies fan, you probably do because you kept waiting for him to turn it around.
In October, is there a Phillies fan that cares? I mean, was he figuring into any of your future plans?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, you move Cody Ashe to the outfield. Why? Because
exactly.
I mean, Cody Ashe gets moved to the outfield because you think he has a chance of helping you more than Dominic Brown, correct?
I don't disagree with you at all.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Where should I start here? Let's actually start with the Michigan punter getting death threats.
That is the most ridiculous thing. There is nothing in the world that could happen in a college football game that would warrant that. Nothing.
There's nothing in any sport period that merits that.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. Look, the vast majority of fans are great fans. Now, when their team doesn't do well, do they get mad? Yes. I expect fans to be passionate. So, yeah, do they get mad, upset when their teams don't do well or something unexpected happens? Yes. Are they euphoric when something great happens or something unexpectedly great happens? Yes. But 90% of them have the ability to channel that that at some point after a little cooling off period, as disappointed as they are, or as upset or as mad as they are, they're able to treat it for what it is. About 10, 15 years ago, I would have said that the off the chart fringe would have been about 2 to 5%. Unfortunately, I feel like that's increased to about 10%. This will not be an absolute statement, but I will then use a cautionary word in front. My guess is some of these people, some, not all, so we don't want to be absolute, some of these people that wrote some of these tweets to this young man, Blake O'Neill, who, by the way, has 2 degrees from Utah and is working on a third at Michigan, that some of these people that wrote these tweets to him had money on the game. If that is the case, here is my very strong recommendation for you. Stop gambling. Stop. It's gotten the best of you. Now, I'm not saying all the people that sent tweets to him had money in the game. I said some. For those who sent ignorant tweets to him who also had money on the game, my strong recommendation to you is to stop. All right? In fact, you should probably stop gambling, period, because you can't handle it. If you wanted to pick a person on a planet of 7 billion people who wanted to catch that ball and kick it away more than anybody else on the planet of 7 billion people, that person was Blake O'Neill. There is nobody on the planet that wanted to catch the ball and kick it away worse than him. There is no one more upset on the face of the earth right now about that play than him. As upset and as ignorant as some of those who tweeted to him, death threats and the like, and believe me, he's exponentially more upset than you'll ever be. He's more disappointed than all of you combined that sent stuff to him.
Here's the other thing, too. I watched that play live, and then I watched it a couple of times later. And again, this is not pointing the finger blame anywhere, but let's look at it. It's the punter right now that's receiving all the bad notes and email and getting all the flack for trying to make something happen with really not a great snap either. It's not like this was a perfect snap. This was a low snap. It's something he probably should be able to handle.
Kevin, he dropped the ball. All right. I'm not going to buy this. He dropped the ball.
You don't think he was trying to just get the punt away, and even though he had somebody draped on him, just trying to kick the ball to get it out of there?
Oh, yeah, he was, but he dropped the ball.
On the snap.
Yeah, he dropped the ball.
But it was a low snap. I mean, it wasn't a perfect snap either.
Kevin, he dropped the ball, okay? In other words, this wasn't a low snap, and he had to, like, go down, get it, and it caused it to be blocked. He dropped the ball. I mean, so, yeah, could the snap be better? Yeah, but he dropped it, like the Texas punter dropped it. It happens, unfortunately. And for the Michigan State kid, could it have been a better bounce? I'll never forget a game here in 2009 where Iowa was setting up a return, and Adrian Claiborne, who was really a great college defensive end, they had him on punt return, and they were setting up a return, so he just was just rushing just a rush. and he blew through the line, blocked the punt, and if the ball doesn't bounce right up as he's running, like, oh, it's like he didn't have to break stride. The kid from Michigan State, the ball went right into his hands. But as to how people reacted, look, any fan that's disappointed, upset, what absolutely you should be disappointed, upset, the whole thing. What do you think when Aaron Boone hit the home run off Tim Wakefield in 2003? What do you think? I sat there and went, oh, well. I sit there going, well. But here's what's happened in the Twitter world. Most Twitter is fine like anything else. But it's that moment. It used to be 20 years ago. What was your one outlet that you could express your feelings about, and especially if you're angry? What was the one outlet you had? Talk radio.
I was going to say either yelling it at the stands or talk radio.
It would talk. I'm talking to the masses. Okay, talk radio. That then converted over into a combination of talk radio message boards. But at the same time, when I look at a message board, for example, one of the things I would say about a message board would be, well, I sure would want an empty because
wouldn't draw a lot of attention, would it?
No, but at the same time, it means there's not a lot of passion about your program out there either.
That's true, too.
Pros and cons about it, okay? All right. But then there's the Twitter thing where it's so instantaneous and it's 140 characters. You got to be able to sit there. And you, oh, I'm so mad, I'm going to boom, 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 boom. And then there's that last moment. And what's that last moment? Well, you're about to take that index finger and you're going to hit send.
If it's in my case, it's okay. Like rereading it again. Do I really want to say this to the masses?
Okay. Okay. Exactly. Do you want everybody out there to see this? Really? Now, alcohol plays a role, I'm sure, for some. Gambling plays a role for some. And others have anger management issues. I understand you're upset. Completely get it. But 90% of fans who get upset have a way of being upset, talking about it, you know, venting to their coworkers, blah, blah, blah. But they're venting to their coworkers or their friends or their family or whatever. And, you know, and they're all in agreement with you. Oh, yeah, I hear you. Hey, you know, I feel the same way, blah, blah, blah. But then that's as far as it goes. It's the personal stuff. Right? He's 23 years old. Is he a failure in life? No 23-year-old should be a failure in life. Hopefully he's got another good 50, 60 years left in him. I don't understand that part. Explain that part to me. I don't understand what motivates somebody to say something that hateful to someone else. So one of the things on this show that I enjoy, I might enjoy more than anything else. This is the same thing with the pregame show outside the Jordan Center. I love hearing the give and take with fans. I love when somebody calls this show and we have some give and take about things. Because all it is give and take. But I enjoy that. Finding out what people think, why they think it, or if they have a question. Maybe they have a question where I have an answer that can help. Something. Or, for example, if we're sitting out at the Jordan Center and I'm not being asked the questions, but they're asking the questions for Jack, for example. Now, I'm not just sitting there just waiting until the next thing comes up. I'm listening to what Jack has to say and what answer he's giving because he knows so much about the game. So I love those give and take moments. Twitter's not give and take. The people that do that, there's something wrong with them. It's okay to say, oh, I'm disgusted, I'm upset, whatever. But the people are actually, sending things to his account. Really? Does that make you feel? I mean, nobody here is doing that, obviously. But, I mean, does that make that person feel better? You feel better. Really? I told him to go drink Clorox and die. Oh, fat. Good for you. Wow. Way to tell him.
I'm sure the first thing he thought of when right before that ball was snapped, how can I make it so that Michigan scores a touchdown here and we lose the game?
You know what? He's had
all these people make it sound like it's intentional.
Blake O'Neal's had a good career. You know, look, it's just bad time, bad circumstance, bad. You know, it just feel awful for the kid. I do. Nobody in the face of the earth wanted to catch that ball and kick it more than him. Yeah, is it a slightly low snap? I think he got the. Didn't he catch the ball about where his knees are?
He caught it between the knees and the ankles. It ran around the shins. Yeah.
The knees was a little higher than that, Kev. Okay, he dropped it.
Well, I was looking on a small screen, okay?
Yeah, it was. He dropped it. I mean, pure and simple. This is not a snap issue. This is a completely sellout, didn't block enough guys.
That's the other thing. He knows that he's getting a full-blown rush coming at him, too.
Yeah, but if he doesn't drop the ball, they might block it, they might not. But the play happens because he dropped it. Just as simple as that. And it's not the be-all, end-all. And if some of those people who sent the tweets to him did so when they were inebriated, they should stop drinking, in my opinion, because they can't handle it. And if they had money on the game, they should stop gambling because they can't handle it either.
Tony checked in and said he's not even sure he'd agree with the gambling part, because even if you had Michigan in there, I don't even know that would have been a point spread cover at that point.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, I'm just saying. But some there. Are
but he was agreeing with you. He was just saying it. Even that's not even an excuse, even a somewhat of an excuse, because the point spread may have been may not have mattered there with the win or loss.
I don't know. I don't know what I have no idea. You know me. I don't know what those numbers are. I don't know. We will take a break. So we're toward the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break. Joe Susan coming up. Bucknell played a heck of a game at Army on Saturday. We'll talk about that in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
They look warm, they look cuddly, but don't play with polar bears. They'll rip you to shreds.
Good safety tip.
I mean, what other radio station in America gives you that kind of sound advice? I mean, really, that was a slice of broadcast gold there.
All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Joined by the head coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, it's good to be here. And don't play with little brown bears or black bears that show up in your backyard either. And rip your wife's bird feeder to shreds. Let them go.
It sounds like you're talking from experience there, Joe.
Experience. That's right. Yeah. The deer are easy. The black bears, we just let them go.
A message from this station and the Ad Council. All right, so, Joe, when you get into football games, really any game, a lot of times the team that will make the fewest mistakes is the one that will win. What role, for example, did penalties play in your game?
Oh, it's significant in that any time you give people 105 free yards in any game, it is going to have an outcome on the or a bearing on the outcome of the game, especially in a game where their offense is a ball control, time consuming offense. We won the turnover battle, but they won the yardage battle, and that really had a bearing on the game. We can't simulate crowd noise as the crowd noise that we had during that game. We did practice our silent counts, and there are three procedure penalties that occurred in a crowd noise situation. The other four that are credited to our offensive line and tight end were really first and second down, and those are things that I think come with younger players playing in that venue, but there are no excuses. We have to be accountable for them and own them, and that's what we told our team last night. In the long run, you know, they're up, it's 14-14 with 5 minutes left, and I can't fault Nick O'Brien for the effort he made to cover Edgar Allan Poe. But right. Edgar Allan Poe is a 6'4", 210-pounder. And, you know, just he lost the jump battle there. And that ultimately winds up being the decider. Missing a field goal early, we got it blocked. Those are inexcusable, and we're going to fix that in terms of personnel. But, we move on. You learn from it and you move on.
I mean, let's face it. When they throw the football, they are looking for a big play.
Correct.
It sounds like you defended it well, but for them, that was them taking their shot, correct?
Correct. And, they set up their first touchdown with a big throw, a double move on the outside, and then they win the game on a big throw. And what I said after the game, I believe that they beat us with their passing game. They didn't beat us with the run game. And, that is where first eyes, second eyes, and eye discipline become so critical. And, again, I can't fault what Nick O'Brien did. He was covering them as best he can. The double move really comes off play action away. And what our corner was thinking, well, this guy's going to try and cut me off to affect my being able to pursue the option, and then he just breaks it out and kid makes a heck of a throw.
Joe, you play a team from FBS. What were the positives out of the experience that you know you're a better football team because you did it?
Well, I think that our ability on our offensive line there were no sacks. There were only two quarterback hits. I think our quarterback did well in terms of his pocket presence. And then our ability to run the football against that defense, which they did not bring a lot of pressure in their previous games. And they did execute some pressure. I think we did a great job against their cross dog, which really is they're bringing two backers, one fills first and the other one crosses his path. I think our offensive line really did a good job. Our defense played well against their option for most of the day. We only had 9 missed tackles, which our goal is to keep it 9 or under. And, you know, the thing defending that, well, what we've got to do, though, is take that defense and put it away and get back to playing our defense, which we'll do tomorrow.
All right. You want that 24-hour rule. How important does that come into play in something like this?
Very important. We actually gave I brought the staff together yesterday midday, and normally we'll go out on a Sunday. I think that takes its toll. That offense takes its toll because they cut as a, you know, as a part of their living, and we had a bunch of kids that really wound up getting cut many more times. Connor Golden got cut 7 times.
Right.
But he also intercepted 2 and made 13 tackles. He played that position as well as it can be played within that defense. So we gave him off last night. We watched the film. We watched clips from the film and then moved on to watching Georgetown film. And we'll be full go with Georgetown tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you about that, because the Georgetown film is going to be a dramatically different film than the one you watched with Army. Kyle Nolan loves to put that baby up, and he spreads the ball all over the place. What are the challenges now of having to go from seeing option football to now seeing this kind of Kyle Nolan football?
Yeah, Kyle does a heck of a job, and he's a big, strong kid. That is a big thing, and a lot of what he does is timing. And, he gets it out quick. Those are hard to get pressure on him, with the exception of third down. If we can control their passing game in early downs by varying our coverages, by showing press and playing press, by showing press and backing off, to force him to do something other than his traditional three-step, I think those are going to be things that are important. And within that, though, we've got to be smart about defending the run. They spread you out to run the ball, and I'm sure that what they're doing is deciding at the line of scrimmage or deciding from the sideline to the field whether they run or throw. And I think our being able to vary what we're doing defensively in terms of what we show them and, in essence, in what we play post-snap is going to be critical to our being able to contain him. The other thing we've got to do is we've got to keep him off the field. We have to get back to how we play offense by controlling the clock. And the clock got away from us in the second half against Army. And we've got to do a great job offensively of converting our third downs. We weren't as good as we needed to be in third down conversions against Army. But, Joe, it's a homecoming game.
Yeah, homecoming. I was going to ask you, how important is balance against them with your offensive attack? Because they have given up some yards at both levels of this. So how important will balance be for you against them?
I think it'll be critical in our being able to continue drives. And those are the things that we're finishing off from a formational standpoint. Our being able to spread them out to run the ball, I think that'll be critical. It disables their ability to play an 8-man box or a 9-man box or a quarters team. So against traditional formations, when you load the formation, they load the box. You got 9 guys in the box. If we can spread them out, take advantage of our short passing game as run game in early downs, if they intend on loading the box, but we will do a lot of run pass as they do, and our quarterback does a pretty good job of controlling that at the line of scrimmage. And balance to me is, you know, you got to take third down out of the equation. You'd like to be 50-50 on first and second down when you look at it at the end. But you also, if you have a hammer, you want to really pound the rock in terms of that regard. And I'm not sure CJ's status right now. We hope that he's back, but I thought Matt Del Muro did a very good job against Army and ran for over 100 yards. He ran more direct, which Matt, when he's doing that, he's hard to stop because he's quick. He's not the biggest guy, so he hides behind our offensive line. And, one of the things that's hardest for a young man making a transition from high school to college is in high school, you can run around the defense. In college, people are disciplined about setting an edge to the defense. And I think Matt's really became better as the game went on in understanding that. And his runs were hard runs. And I thought, it's credit to the offensive line. I thought he did a good job. And the offensive line is healthy, which that's important. We've had to rotate through in some of the games where one guy or the other wasn't at 100%. And it's so critical for that group of five to be able to play together. And I include the tight end, so it becomes a group of six to be able to play together. So, they become accustomed to how people work in combination and how people work in protection. And I think that's important for us.
It's also, you mentioned your homecoming game. The importance of homecoming to you and to the team, but also to reestablishing yourself with the stretch run now in the horizon.
I told them that we, in many ways, control our own destiny. Having a homecoming crowd here, I look forward to the weather. The weather is supposed to be 65 and sunny, which that would be great. I'm not sure if Kevin's going to bring the same wind that he brought up to West Point, but a lot of hot air.
Every game.
but having our alums back, it's we have a Hall of Fame banquet the night before. We have an event ongoing. There's a tent going to be set up, and it's great that people. I had to catch myself some time because people were congratulating us on the Army game, and I said, "Wait a minute. You saw a different score than I did," and that's how that's how you react as a competitor. The thing that I know that the parents group we had is outstanding. The alumni and friends will be back, and hopefully the students come back and support us. We played the Lehigh game on fall break, and we had a crowd of 4,000 people, which is pretty good for not having the students there, but. Homecoming is a special thing at a place like this. It is something that people take seriously because they feel strongly about this place. It goes back to how I feel about this place. It's more the people than the place. People can build buildings, but it's the people that make the place unique. And then I'm not an insider, but I've been here for 16 years, so. I think I know a little bit about the heart of Bucknell and feel strongly about it.
Absolutely. 1 o'clock on Saturday, Georgetown at Christie. Coach, good luck. Thanks a lot for the time.
I have to tell you, though, that I did listen to you when you were broadcasting the Penn State game. And I'm impressed. Well, I'm not impressed because that's what I figured. You do a great job. The unfortunate thing is you have to give people commercial as they get into the red zone, but that's the way it is nowadays on radio.
Yeah, we'd like to thank the good people at Del Grosso, Del Grosso Sauce Red
I'm
Zone.
I'm sure that's good food.
I'm sure it is, too.
We'll be adding that in 2 weeks, Coach, so be prepared.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm sure we will. And that'll give Doug Birdsong a lot more to talk about.
But thank you. That was very kind of you say. I appreciate
that.
Thank you.
No, you're a professional, as Kevin is, and that's all I want. I try to treat people in the press the way I want them to treat me, and I've been fortunate to be blessed with the right kind of people that do the job you guys do.
Well, thanks. It's believe me, we can say the same thing to you. Thank you so much.
You guys have a good day.
Joe Susan,
You have a great one, Coach.
Thank
Joe
you.
Susan, head football Bye. Coach at Bucknell. Great respect for him as always, and we thank him for the kind words. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. That's 1 o'clock on Saturday at Christie, Georgetown and Bucknell. It's a big game for Bucknell. Big, I hope the fans turn out in droves, because that'll be an important game.
And Georgetown actually scored 13 after being down 17-0. I think it was 13 in the fourth quarter against Colgate to actually almost come back and tie that game or win it, and they just ran out of time.
Yeah. So that will be coming up. They're 3-4 in the year coming in. The key is for Bucknell to make them 3-5. And that will be Saturday at 1. Penn State will be at 3:30 from M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. The Illinois game on Halloween is noon. And if Kevin wants to trick-or-treat afterward, you can. Now, they're not going to do – now, here in State College, they are not going to have trick-or-treat night on that night. It's not going to happen. I think it's going to be Thursday night, the 29th. And the reason that they're doing that is simple. It's a different dynamic here in State College than it would be in most towns in the state. When you have an influx of tens of thousands of people coming into town and the traffic – you don't want to have it on Friday night. You don't want to have it on Saturday night. So they're going to do it on Thursday night when the town is at what you would consider to be a normal traffic level. So that's what they're going to do here. Okay. 272, our number 1-800-795-9565. I love the engaging with the fans and, you know, and taking their questions and listening with or what they have to say, I mean, the opinions. We were talking about Twitter earlier. I just feel the 140 character thing. It's like everybody feels like I'm gonna vent and get this thing out there. I understand disappointment, but you can't make it personal against that kid. Landry Jones was terrific yesterday. Bet you didn't see that. How many of you had Landry Jones in your fantasy team?
Yeah, I wonder if the FanDuel winner this week had Landry Jones. Second career NFL pass becomes a touchdown.
I mean, let me put it this way. Landry Jones's family didn't have him on their fantasy team.
No.
But he came in, and that's the best he has played as a Pittsburgh Steeler, preseason or regular season. That's the best he's played.
Now,
and
you'll
the Steelers... Steelers beat a really good team yesterday. That was a really good win. And that Steeler, you know what? The Steeler front seven is played at a very high level, I think, all season. Now, they don't have a lot of margin for error. It's not a very deep group in the front seven. But when they get that starting group out there, that's a really good front seven. They have kept them in games because the Steelers have not been the scoring machine expected with Roethlisberger out.
I watched that game on delay, and I was watching it and catching up to live. I had to rewind it a couple of times just to see that Landry Jones was actually... And then I thought the game was over, and I caught up to at the two-minute mark to live, and I thought, wait a minute. Landry Jones is actually leading this team to victory. It was a frightening moment for me.
I'd have other things in my life I would consider that, but sure, if that's, you know, we all have our own standards.
But okay, I know it's 1 week, but I kind of have to buy into Landry Jones for a little while until he proves otherwise. I mean, it's hard to, you know, overlook success.
He did well.
Now, and he looked good.
Says he did look good. He looked like he knew exactly what he was doing. Donnie Collins next half hour. Talk about Penn State and Ohio State.